Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
Thank you. Even God's people, if that were possible. 1 Peter 5, 8, 9, be vigilant. Because of your adversary, the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in faith. Finally, Ephesians 6, 10, 11, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power and of his might or his mighty power, another version. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that enables us to understand what's going on in the world, to have confidence, to be aware that you're about stirring the hearts of your people to not only walk in victory for themselves, in their families, in their businesses, but also to impact the world and our sphere of influence. So have your way this morning, and we bless you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Of this verse in 1 Peter, is it said, your adversary, the devil, it walks around like a roaring lion. I'm going to take a little bunny trail out here, then I'm going to talk very quickly, okay? Because we've got things this afternoon, and you've got things this afternoon, and I can't wait to spend time with my family. But it says this, that Peter is saying that your adversary, the devil, and then he relates that to a type and a lion. A lion looking for whoever he may devour. Resist him, it says, stand fast in the faith. Do you know that a lion who roars is showing a bit of cowardness? Do you know that? For you who have heard me teach on this a long time ago, a roaring lion is not looking to devour. A roaring lion is trying to keep people from encroaching on his position or to keep animals or other lions away. You want to be quiet, you want to be careful for the stealthful lions. The ones that are in secret, those that are quiet, they're the ones that come up behind. But what Peter is saying here, that the roaring lion is literally a coward trying to get his prey to succumb to his voice, to his temptations, to his manipulations. And they come, as we've seen, in many different forms. He's trying to keep people back. And what it says, what Peter is saying here, resist him. Resist the attempt to cause you, to cause us to succumb to his bloviating. You ever heard of that word? Now you have. That sense that people with all circumstances looking ahead at all the perhaps difficulties. How many know that looking ahead, seeing all the difficulties, is not reality? Reality is when you get there and you can deal, when you have the provision to deal with the difficulties. But if you project yourself out there, what you're doing is you're succumbing to a roar, which is nothing more than a false attack. No animal was killed by the roar of a lion. How do you resist that? By faith. Standing and saying, faith says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Now we know that Peter was using the lion as a type. But the demonstration of that type of things that rob us are the things that go on naturally in life. And what's happening is Peter is saying, resist him. Resist him how? Trying to out-talk him? Trying to be angry? Try to do a bunch of spiritual push-ups? In the faith that says, Lord, this cannot be of you. We will not allow this attack and the deception to come into our families, to come into my life, to come into our job, come into our kids. We stand fast in the faith. And everybody said amen. Shall we go home? Thank you for your encouragement. The Lord said that we in 2016 is a year of grace and mercy. This is the last message today. So I want to bring everybody up to speed. The Lord, as we recognize that the bottom line is that God needs you. And I have tremendous Father's Day messages. I had one almost ready. And Tuesday, the Lord says, no, I don't want you to give that. Because of all the things that I don't know if any of you go into the Drudge Report, but I do. I look at the Drudge Report. It comes from a conservative position. And I read that. And if I were a non-Christian, I would go out and I don't know what I'd do. Probably, I don't know what I'd do. I don't know what non-Christians do when they get bad news. I can imagine. I've been a Christian all my life, and I got into some things too. But not this bad, because I've never seen it in the world this bad of all that's going on. You look at overseas and ISIS and all these things, and here in the United States, and the obvious disclaimer of what we should be doing in terms to protect this nation. The obvious negating of that. And it's very, very, I mean, how can you possibly acknowledge some of the things that were acknowledged this week? And then you look at all that's going around the world. And as I said, I love to preach to the men. That's men's ministry is one of my favorite things over the almost 40 years. Because God has anointed us because of the position that we're in. And one of these days I'm going to give a message to the men, the Lord willing. But the Lord says, the time is getting short. The time is getting short, and I need my people to be prepared. So I said, Lord, I'll save the Father's Day message in another way. But today we continue on in what the Lord has been revealing to us. Again, I marvel at the prophetic words that are coming down. I marvel at the teachings around the nation about being spiritually prepared for what's going on. And with that, not so much the equipping side, which is extremely important, but the revelatory side, so that we can see things from a proper perspective and actually what's going on in the world. And it's all outlined in the Bible. Do you know that the Bible says that there will be at the end times the warring between two brothers? Does anybody know that? From the beginning in the book of Genesis, there will be a warring throughout all of God's creation between two brothers. It started with Abraham. Chapter 12 through 15, 16 of Abraham. It was prophesied. How many know that Abraham walked the earth over 100 years ago? How many know that's over thousands of years ago? And because of that, because of the mishandling of what God told Abraham to do, and it's an incredible story that has now and will now filter down into today's history and what's going on today. Can you believe that? And that's why we recognize, and I've said it over and over again, that the Bible is not just a history book of the Jewish nation. Of course, the Jewish nation began with Abraham and his sons. Jacob's name was changed. One of his sons, his name was changed to Israel, God's people. But if you understand this, and it's extremely important that it, right from the very beginning, there was going to be a fighting that was going on. Does anybody want to hear about this, which is another bunny trail? But I want you to understand, because the Bible says, "Fear not, for I am with you." And when you, if we don't understand what's going on, people are going to just throw up their hands. We're not going to, I don't want to care. I don't want to hear anybody, whatever. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. But in Genesis with Abraham, you may know the story. Many of you do, those listening. Abraham was 90 years old. His wife, Sarah, or Sarai, Abram, and Sarai, she was 80. She was barren. She could have no children. And according to the tradition at that time, throughout the Old Testament, if a woman was barren, that could only be interpreted by a curse from God. What a shame. But being barren means you could not pass down the generation. And when the father dies, the sons were supposed to take care of the mother. So, God takes Abraham from the land of the Ur of Chaldees, which is up north. And because he was not a Jew, he was doing what was good to God. The other ones were serving other gods. Somehow or another, God looked down into this man and says, Abram, what I want you to do, I want you to come and leave your people, and I want you to go to a land that I'm giving to you. Abraham says, yes, all right, we'll do that. God was continually to reveal himself to Abram during that time. Lot went with him, his nephew. And they left Ur of the Chaldeans and went towards the place of Israel, where Israel is today. You remember the story, Abraham, and they were, God had blessed them with incredible amounts of animals, livestock, which was a sign of wealth, along with a number of parts of the family that came with them. And they stood on a mountaintop, and they looked, and they saw that Abraham said that to Lot, we are too many. We need to split up. And he comes to the mountaintop, and he looks down one side, and over there, it's populated. It's nice and green and all that. And the other side was barren desert. And Abraham says, Lot, you can have first choice. And he said, I want the population side. Be careful for what you ask. I want to go down there where it's already built up. Everything is cool. I don't have to do anything. We're just sort of a turnkey operation. Anybody heard of Sodom and Gomorrah? Anybody understand what Sodom and Gomorrah was about? This was a town, a big city, filled with, I'm going to explain it another way. I can't explain it any other way. That's what it is. But the town was filled with Bible says this, not me, homosexuals. And everything was built around the lust. And in fact, when someone came angels came to Lot, they said, God is going to wipe out this town. He's going to destroy the town. Get out of here. And they saw these angels that looked like men come and knocked on Lot's door and say, give us those men that came into your house. We want them. This is the Bible. There's a reason for all of this. Lot says, because they are my guests, I cannot give them to you. But I will give one of my daughters. How about that? Abraham pleaded with God to not wipe out. And he says, save Lot. Save his family. So the angels go in there and he said, you may leave because God is going to bring destruction on this place. I had to talk, I don't know many, hundreds and hundreds of times. Boy, this is off on a tangent, Lord. Good, thank you. He says, it's my tangent. I blame everything on him. But I want you to understand this. How many know God can speak to you like that? He says, I'm going to wipe out the town. And we, many times, said hundreds of times over the years, people say, well, how can God do that? I mean, I read God sending the Israelites in and God says, wipe out the whole town. What kind of a God is that? How can you have, and so many people have rejected because they do not know what was going on. And the enemy gives them excuses. He goes in, infests the particular culture, and then he blames God for any results that's happened. Why? How could a loving God? Anybody ever had that thought of that question? Reading the, nobody here, huh? It's a common thing. How could God? At the end, when I talked about Jericho, the Lord says, after the walls fall down, wipe out the whole town, including the animals. Wow. Isn't that sort of over the top, God? Let me tell you something. First of all, he's God. And that's exactly right, the answer. God is always good. So how could that line up with his goodness? Let me share with you quickly here. I don't know if you were watching one of the races a couple weeks ago, horse races. And one of the horses broke their leg. And what did they do to it? Put him out of his misery. When God looks down in a situation and sees something that's deteriorating, that will not, God, the Bible says God is long-suffering. He waits and waits and waits and waits and waits until it reaches a point where there is no turning back. And the further time that goes on, the more suffering, the more degradation, the more pain, the more perversion, the more everything, so that they get to the point where they're killing themselves. And he lovingly comes in and stops the process. That sounds hard. Well, let me give you another example. My father, who was a wonderful man of God, he had more degrees than a thermometer, taught, pastored, military, incredible military man, top 4% in leadership in the United States Army, all kinds of wonderful things. I loved him dearly. We're out here in California. my father is in the process of deteriorating, and we prayed for him. Then he went into hospice, and my sister called me. She's on the he's in Atlanta, outside of Atlanta. She's on the East Coast, and she said, "I want you to pray. The doctors are saying that there is a downward spiral, and we can keep him alive on a resuscitator or with a tube. And we can keep him alive, having a machine breathe for him." And I prayed, talked to the doctor, and I said, "Doc, what do you think?" He says, "There's no turning back. There's no turning back. The longer we delay this, the worse it's going to get. And the more his body is going to deteriorate, and then the more suffering and the more medication that we have to pump into him." I had to make a decision. And because I loved my father, I didn't want him to be prolonged in a position that totally was against his nature. So I gave the word. Remove the tube. Remove the breathing machine. "You actually mean that you caused your father's death?" "Yeah, I did." "Could I have prolonged it onward and onward and onward?" "Yes." "Would that have done any good for him? Because his body was not keeping up with the process." Because I loved him, because I cared for him, I put him out of his misery. Now that is a way of understanding. Now when you look at these nations, what they were doing, sacrificing their babies, getting rid of it was perversion beyond what we can ever imagine. The first baby, if you had a house, going to build a house. Let me just tell you, from the Old Testament, the first thing that happened, the father would take the first baby and remove a brick from a new house, kill the baby, put the baby in there, mud it up, and that was a sacrifice to their gods to be able to bless their home. How's that sound? Or if you wanted to worship God, what you did was you went to the temple, men. You went to the temple, and in the temple on top of a hill, there were temple prostitutes. And you would go and you would have sex in terms of worshiping the God. And the temple prostitute would get pregnant. And the baby would be offered by dropping the baby in the fire to worship. How perverted. Can you imagine the loving, caring God who wants and sees this deception going on, that sees the pain and the suffering of so many ones that are innocent. And because he has given man free will, he comes and he says, "We must stop this." And he intervenes in his way. He doesn't do that anymore. He just allows the deterioration process to happen where, like Rome or like Greece or any of the other ones, Nazism, communism, to deteriorate so much that it basically just kills itself. But what I want you to understand, the loving, caring, compassionate heart of God. So if anybody asks you a question about the Old Testament, how can God possibly do this? My first response is because he's a God of love. Now you have an explanation for it. If I saw someone that was bleeding to death, know that he was going to die, I just watched 13 hours. The story about Benghazi, that's something that's absolutely phenomenal. And there's something you just can't, there's nothing else you can do. I haven't forgotten the story, by the way, and why I went off on this. But I want you to understand, Lot, by the way, is allowed to leave. He takes his family out. And of course, his wife, how many know about her? She longed for what was going back. He said, the angel said, don't look back. When you know it's the enemy, don't try to even get a reconnection again. Because that wooing, it's called literally a familiar spirit, will draw you back into that situation. How many times I see a person moving in the positive direction, walking from freedom, and then get a call from a friend or whatever from the past, say, come on back. God said to Lot's wife, don't look back. No one look back. And she looks back, and she turns into a pillar of salt. Well, that sounds weird. Why not anything else? Well, there's a reason for it. Because there was, and they found the place where Sodom and Gomorrah was, and they could see a massive explosion that took place that turned the sands in the dew into a salty type of material, apparently when there was a big explosion. And she was covered with salt, completely done. It started back with Abraham. God said to Abraham, I am going to make you a mighty nation. And of course, he says, I believe you, God. And he did. He said, I want you to look up to the up in the stars, because you will have descendants as many as the stars. And he goes, wow, that's pretty cool. Here I am, 90 years old. My wife is barren. How many know that takes faith to believe in? And what happens, I have no idea, folks, but I'm going to get finished with our notes. Can you believe that? Don't try this at home. I'm a professional. What happens is that he says, you're going to be a mighty nation. And he goes, Abraham goes and tells Sarah. And Sarah says, Sarai, not Sarah, Sarai, say what? Look at me. I'm barren for 80 years. What? She doesn't know God like Abraham does. She doesn't have the faith like Abraham does. Abraham doesn't have the faith either yet. I don't know how this is going to work. Sarai says, if that's the case, did God say that? Yes. She said, well, it's not going to happen by me, because look at this. And she says, I want a son. So what I'm going to do here, and God said it, we're going to have a son. I'm going to take my head servant woman, and I want you to sleep. You can sleep with her, and she'll give us a son. It was okay back in those days to mess around. So Abraham says, yeah, stupid guy. You know, like we men are. Well, I don't know, eat the apple. Sure, I'll eat the apple. Give me a bite. And they have a baby. She has a baby. And that baby is called, what? Ishmael. And God says, what are you doing? He said, well, you said I was going to have a son. I've got a son. Here it is, Ishmael. He said, I didn't tell you to take things into your own hands. I said that you and Sarai were going to have a baby. And Sarai, they come back in and the angels are talking to her, and one of them is probably Jesus Christ incarnate. And she's in a tent. And she's in there, and she heard that, and she's, you got to be kidding. And they could hear her laughing in the tent. They leave. He said, the angel of the Lord said, in 1 year, Sarah will give birth. Abraham saying, I thought I did a good thing. And he goes back and he says, all right, mama, let's follow the Lord. So it happened. Go figure. Here's this. He's 100 years old. She's 90 years old about that time. And she had a baby. And they called him what? Isaac. Right? You know what Isaac means? Ha ha. Happy, happy. So all of a sudden, we've got some things going on here. He said, it's going to come from your son. I got two sons. Long story short, we have a mixture of the upcoming Jewish nation and that helper. That servant woman was not part of the Jewish nation. But God says, and this is what people miss it. Take your son, your only son, and go up. And you remember the story about Abraham going to sacrifice his son and God stops it? He says, from this I shall build my kingdom. He says, but because Ishmael is part of your seed, I will honor him. Let me tell you something. Where did the Jews come from? Isaac. Where did the Arabs come from? Ishmael. He says, in the word, they will always be in war. 5,000 years before, they will always be in war, but I will honor them. How did God honor the Arabs through Ishmael? Somebody say oil. He has honored them, but there has been a contention between Ishmael and Isaac, and it will go down to the end, to the Battle of Armageddon. So you know today, where's ISIS? They're Arabs. Through that whole process, they produced a religion. And by the way, Allah is not God. We use the word Allah as being in the Bible. He is Allah, Yahweh, Almighty God. It's not. Because, and I don't have time to get into the history of Muhammad, but he took all of the gods. Maybe we won't put this on the website. He took all of the gods from all of these different parts of the Arab nations, and he brought them all together. It was a political moving. And he said, and the head god of that nation, of all, in everyone, there was a common god, and that was the moon god. So when you see Turkey and you see the moon and the symbols there, it was the moon god. So they put all of the other gods of all these other tribes together, and they said, the head one is the moon god, and he named it Allah. It was not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They don't recognize the Jews. In fact, what they want to do is wipe out the Jews. And what you see today in Iran, in Iraq, in Qatar, and in Egypt, and all these areas, this is all Arab country. And the Bible says that Isaac, the Jews, will be left standing because God is coming back. And if you know, if you've read the Quran, I haven't read it all, but I've picked the high points out and listened to people who do know. There's so much intertwined within what the actual scripture says, but from a completely different perspective. And I'm wanting you to understand that this is not happenstance. That what's going on today in the world is that continuation of the prophecy that there would be a war between Isaac and Ishmael until the end of time. Now, a lot of people don't have the foggiest idea that that's what's going on. But what I wanted to share with you and to have you understand that we're dealing with a spiritual battle that started from a position of rebellion. What do we learn from Ishmael? That you don't take things into your own hands. Right? God says this, well, we can make this thing happen. How many times did we do that? How many times did we create an Ishmael? When God says, you're going to have a baby with a blessing, and you're desiring to do His will, you let God bring the blessing and try to and stop. You be obedient to what He says instead of trying to make it happen. Somebody say amen or oh me, I'm feeling very lonely up here. That whole process of recognizing that in the end times, there's going to be two sides. One that is on God's side. You know, my communication this morning is nothing but a hater and a bigot. How many know that God loves Ishmael and the Arabs? How many know He loves all creation? But I'll tell you one thing, when we honor Him, that's where the blessing will be. And I don't want to live in God's mercy. I want to live in God's grace. Mercy is God not releasing what we do deserve. And grace is God giving to us what we don't deserve. And there's a lot of people, even a lot of Christians, they live in God's mercy. Well, I'll take God's mercy if that's what I'll take anything He wants to give me, but I want Him blessing me instead of trying to get me out of the hot water because I've jumped in head first. So when we understand these things from that perspective, then we see the political situation that's going on, and it's not just a, well, that's the way it is. So when I told you months ago that we're dealing with a spiritual battle, I mean, here we have this little bitty postage stamp country of Israel that's been preserved down through the beginning of time through Abraham. He said, I will honor my people. And they've gone through all kinds of ups and downs, but I'll tell you something. They are still there today. And when you look at the Arab nation, Ishmael, you see in all the different nations. And here we have this little bitty thing, Israel. Can you imagine that? When all the other nations have been wiped out. The Medes, the Persians, the Greek, the Romans, the Babylonians, all of that been wiped out. And we have little Israel over here, size of New Hampshire. And they're here today. You know why? Because they're God's people. And you know why? He said he's going to bring them up and alive and will never allow them to dissipate. He promised that there would be a king that reigned on the throne forever that came from a Jew, David, the tribe of Judah. And he told David, there will be a king reigning on the throne forever from this tribe, from your lineage, from your heritage. Jesus was a descendant of David. And he is going to come back the second time as King of Kings and Lord of Glories. And his reign will never end. Can you understand why I have confidence in God being able to take care of things in the midst of what looks like it's Katie bar the door? Can you understand why I want you and the Christians, and this is being preached across the nations by the pastors that are saying we need to understand that in the end times we're going to see these things. But fear not, I am with you. Because I am purposed to use you. We're not going to be fighting on the battlefield, perhaps, but we're going to be dealing with it in a spiritual realm when we understand that when the enemy wants to come in and bring discouragement and fear and all these kinds of things, we stand fast against the powers of the enemy and we say, hell no, and heaven yes. And if you understand this, there's an excitement because, as I said, the Lord is preparing the church for the unfolding revival. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you. And as I said, he always pours out the greatest light in the midst of darkness. How many people hear what I'm saying? How many know that when I started this thing, I said, I've got good news for you. There's going to be wars at the end times. Got it? Rumors of wars. Earthquakes. Children turning from their parents. All kinds of upheaval that is in the nation, in the world today. Which one of those things are not happening today? But I've got good news. I read the word. You know what? We win. And we can walk in victory through the whole process. Instead of biting our fingernails, trying to figure out what's going on, trying to just recognize that I guess things are just out of control and there's nothing that I can do. And God calls us a mighty man and woman of valor. Now, I'm going to pass this up. Don't look at this. You'll get shell shock here, or at least whatever you might get. All these things that we preached on. How to deal with spiritual warfare. We said personal and ministry. And remember these things. You've got these three things that will destroy the powers of the enemy. The name, the word, and the blood. The blood. And I preached on all of them, and you can go online. We looked at how to stop robbery in your life, and now we've been looking at how to stop in others, which was called spiritual warfare and also called ministry. I'm not going to read this. I read the understanding that Jesus said, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And I talked about the anointing, which means you're able to do something that we can't do. God gives us that provision. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has called me. And he gives that litany of things of setting, giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, the lame being able to walk, the ones that are in prison to be set free, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And I said to you, that's our ministry, every one of those things. And it's not just physical sight to the blind. There are people walking around that cannot see at all what's going on. People who have stuffed up ears that says, well, this is, don't get carried away with this stuff. I mean, after all, no, don't go too far with it. I mean, just reel it back in. By the way, I'm not yelling you at this morning. I'm just speaking in capital letters because I want us to hear it. That's our ministry. And I wanted you to check the website on especially the message of exposing the tactics of the enemy. Reasons of spiritual warfare, we talked about it. The occult, the unfolding of unforgiving spirit and so forth, went through each one of those things. And I also said, what does the enemy look like? What is the enemy? How is it that you are supposed to understand when a person, if we're ministering to them, is under the influence of the power of the enemy? And we went through the list. Inability to be able to believe, confusion, nightmares, controlling thoughts, fear, panic, constant guilt, compulsive sexual thoughts, physical attacks. Now we're dealing with this, so let me run through this because I want to get to the last part here. I said the first thing, how do you move in spiritual warfare? Acknowledge and recognize your position in Christ. It's on your notes. Other one, ask for a special anointing for ministry. The next one was to acknowledge by faith the anointing that you have been given. Previous messages underline each one of the, share the Lord's love and his desire to help. Let me tell you something. When you talk to somebody and say that Jesus loves them and that God loves you, He is the Father. He loves you so much that He gave you His Son because He wants you to have a relationship with Him. There's nothing more that He can do. So we help people to understand that love, not judgment. How can I pray for you? We talked about that, sharing with the different areas, exposing that, allowing the Holy Spirit to load you, to lead you with a discernment. Now the next thing as we're closing here, take spiritual authority over the enemy's tactics. When you're dealing with something and the Holy Spirit deals with you, see, there's a spirit of depression. You literally come and say, I come against the spirit of depression that's been dealing with you, or that spirit of fear. Or a person's been sick for a long period of time. I come against the spirit of infirmity. You name the very thing. I bind you in this area. You're not binding the person. What you're doing is you're praying against the spirit that is causing them to be imprisoned. So you take that spiritual authority that God has given you over the spirit, over the enemy's attacks. He literally, the enemy is bound to your authority because God gave you that authority. The next thing is declare by faith God's provision, deliverance, and healing. Lord, thank you that you are the healer. Lord, I release your healing power into my friend here, my wife, our family, our marriage. In the name of Jesus, release faith. You release your faith into the situation. Father, I believe that you are able to set John free. And Lord, as we've prayed in this, I'm thanking you, Lord. And you don't have to raise your voice. You can talk normal. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you're a loving God, and I know what you've done in my life. And I'm standing with John right now. He's going through some difficult, or Mary, they're going through some difficult things, and I'm praying right now because I know who you are, and I know how much you love them, and I'm praying that you would release that provision to them. That's releasing faith. Releasing. God moves by faith. God doesn't answer prayers. He answers faith. So we're dealing with that situation. Very important. Next, allow your faith to cover them. Your faith can be is to be, because a lot of people don't have faith to believe God for. I just prayed for somebody this morning. They're going through having some tests tomorrow. And my point man, woman, goes out and says, she found out that it's the man at the thing here and behind the desk. He has a bunch of, he's studying to be a nurse. And he has a lot of things, and I hope he's listening. And Ann went up to him, you know, you told me that you're having tests tomorrow and it's, you know, your finals and stuff like that. Would you allow our pastor to pray for you? And he said, sure. I said, Ann, is he a Christian? And he said, I don't think so. And that's okay. I pray for non-Christians too. So I went and I prayed. Would you like me to pray for you? Oh, yeah. Very few people turn down prayers, by the way. And I said, let me just tell you a little experience. I prayed for people, and every one of them has graduated. Every one of them have had good grades, all kinds of things, because God wants to help those. And I tell you, I didn't say I have faith for that, but what I was saying was that, would you allow me, or do you want me to pray for you? Oh, yeah. Let's bow together. Here he is. Sweetheart, just prayed for him. Lord, I just ask that you would intervene tomorrow with JT, that you would come and give him peace tonight so he can get up tomorrow morning. He's done due diligence. He told me that. I'm asking that you would bless him. And I'm asking that you would cause him to remember the things that he has studied and show yourself strong in his life. My faith was covering his. Because sometimes you don't have people that can stand in faith like you do. Okay? Move on. Be a support during the process of their gaining freedom. I told him, I said, when's your test tomorrow? He says, 7 o'clock. I said, I'm going to pray for you tomorrow morning. I'll be up. I'll bring you into my prayers tomorrow morning. I said, but one thing, I want to know what kind of grade you got on those tests. He said, oh, I'll tell you. And you encourage them along the way. And if it's someone at work, you just standing there just with you, how's everything going? Want you to know things are going fine. If it's with your family, if with your husband and wife, you're going through things like that, just want to make sure I'm there, we're there, we're laying hold of God, we're believing for this process. Same thing with the kids. Help them grow. Invite them to church. Come see this crazy pastor we have that believes in this stuff, who taught me. Come see my family outside of my immediate family. Carry one another's burdens. John 2:10, whoever loves his brother lives in the light. So when you look at all these areas that we've covered over these past weeks, they enable you to answer that request from the Lord. I need you. And these are the steps that the Holy Spirit will lead you through to be able to be an instrument in speaking sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, the ability to walk to those who are crippled, those that are bound up and imprisoned, and they can't see any way out, and they're hopeless. We've got the answer. Amen? I want a little bit more encouragement than that. Amen?
Amen.
You have been anointed and appointed to be the instrument in God's hands. And let me tell you, it's not hard. It's easy. All you got to do is show up. Amen? Now, I want us to say Happy Father's Day to recognize that just like I would help my sons and my grandkids to do everything that I can to be the man of God that I believe I know them to be, God is saying to us today, I'm going to do everything I possibly can to allow you, to help you, to be the man, the woman of God that I created you to be. Bow with me as we close. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And when there is a desire for knowledge, you give knowledge and you give understanding. And Lord, just as we've seen over the years where you've taken care of the people that you have, that who are honoring you, through all the ups and downs and the good times and the difficult times and the challenging times and the weak times and all of those, you, God, have made a commitment to provide, to bless our lives individually, to bless our families, our marriages, our health, our jobs, our future. And just like you spoke to Abraham and you spoke to David, you fulfilled that promise. Thousands of years later, the promise is still being worked out. And the same thing with our lives. Your promises are yes. And we add the yes, we agree. Father, thank you that we've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. And we are not only trusting you. Faith not only believes that God can, faith believes that God will. And we believe you will. In Jesus' name. Now take a minute to just say something to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We started this. Now look up. I've got a barbecue to go to. You can pray on your way home. I got it in. But that bunny trail was so important that you understand that this is not just chaos going on. God is our Father. He's a good, good Father. Right? We started, one of the songs that we sang this morning was, He's a good, good Father. You remember that, because that goodness is beyond our comprehension, but it's for every area of our lives. Amen. Stand with me. Let's give the Lord a praise offering as we close this morning. Amen and amen. He's a good, good father. He can't help it. And he wants us to know that it's who he is. And bringing the Word of God, the Bible, and making it relevant for us today is part of him showing his goodness as to some of the things he requests of us, some of the things that he wants us to know that we're anointed for, and also the expectancy that his blessings are forevermore. That's good news. Take your neighbor's hand. Father, I pray for my brother and my sister. I thank you, Lord, that they have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. They could have been here 50 years ago, could have been any other time, but we're all here during this incredibly important time, and we acknowledge, God, that we're weak, but you are strong. We acknowledge that you are faithful and that you've gone before us to prepare a way throughout this week, throughout however long before whatever comes. Could be a year, could be 2 years, could be 10 years. We don't know. But between now and then, your provision is sufficient for us, and we will walk in victory in every aspect of our lives because that's who you are. That's who you are. Let your neighbor's hand go. Father, I release your blessing and your anointing upon your people. I pray understanding and encouragement and a sense of expectation, God, that truly you have. And that means I've gone before you and I've prepared a place. Everywhere we go, you've already been there and your provision for us. Whatever happening in the past, whatever plans we have in the past, you are there and your provision is all ready for us to walk into. Thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus. Now receive the benediction. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon you. Establish the work of your hands. Yes, establish the work of your hands. I release that in faith in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's go to the Lord, a praise offering this morning. Turn around, give somebody a hand. Have an awesome day in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.